Church, say amen. Amen. We thank our male chorus for leading us in the worship this morning. I want to call your attention this morning. We're in this series on the six phases of faith. If you remember a few weeks ago in the phases of faith, first God gives you a dream, what he wants to do in your life. Then in the second phase, you make the decision to go for the dream. The third phase is inevitable delays. Well, this morning we want to look at the fourth phase, and it's after the delays come difficulties. Some of you are in the difficulty phase right now. Welcome to phase four. Jesus says in the Word in John 16, verse 33, in this world you will have trouble. We don't like to read that verse. In this world, you not might, not could be. He states a certainty. You will have trouble. But he doesn't leave us in trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. So in other words, there's no trouble you and I are going to face that God hadn't already overcome. Either you just got out of trouble, or you're in trouble right now, or you're headed for trouble when you leave here. Trouble is a part of life. You will have difficulties. Happily ever after describes fairy tales, not real life. Few people face the difficulties that Paul did in his life, yet Paul never gave up on his dream. He says to us in 2 Corinthians 6, in everything we do, we show that we are God's servants. How? By enduring troubles, hardships, and difficulties with great patience. Now I'm going to need you to lean in. We show what kind of Christian we are by the way we respond to problems. Our testimony of how emotionally mature and how spiritually mature we are is evidenced by our reaction to difficulty. If you cop out, if you complain, if you gripe, if you run from difficulty, you're not a very mature person, either spiritually or emotionally. But if you learn from difficulty, you just keep growing and growing. You will have difficulties. In Acts 27, there's one of those stories of the many difficulties in Paul's life. Paul was being taken as a prisoner to Rome, and he warns the captain, don't sail out of this harbor because God has told me there's going to be a storm. But they got impatient. And anytime you get impatient, you're going to head right into a storm. They decided to leave anyway, and they sailed into a storm, which inevitably caused them to be shipwrecked, and that's what the story is all about. In this story, we learn three key things in dealing with difficulty. Some of us have had an emotional shipwreck. You've lost all of your energy. Some of you have had a relational shipwreck, and a relationship that you thought was solid fell apart. Some of you had a financial shipwreck, or a career shipwreck, or a health shipwreck. What you do when you face these difficulties in life really tells us how mature we are in our spiritual walk. So let's look at these three things that you got to handle when you're dealing with difficulties. First of all, you got to determine the reason for the difficulty. So here's the question you ask. What caused this difficulty in my life? The second thing I have to do, I got to determine the result. What does God want me to learn from this difficulty I'm facing? And thirdly, determine my response. How should I react? How does God want me to act in this particular situation? So let's go back and capture the first one and try to answer this question. What caused the difficulty in my life? Now, there are only four different causes for difficulties in your life. Somebody say four. Number one, the first thing that causes difficulty in my life is me. Most of the challenges in my life I have brought on myself. So I'm the first cause for difficulty in my life. Not only am I the first cause, I'm the greatest cause. Secondly, other people can cause difficulty in my life. Thirdly, the adversary can cause difficulty in my life. And fourth, get this now, God can cause difficulty in my life. He allows problems to come into our lives to get our attention, to test us, to mold us, and for many other reasons. So when I'm going through a tough time, how do I know who the source is? You must pray about it. You must pray about it. You must pray about it and talk to God. Psalm 73, 16 and 17 says this, I tried to think this problem through, but it was too difficult for me until I went into your temple. Okay. So when you're facing difficulties, your first move ought to be worship. See, when you worship, God's usually getting together with other believers to help you clarify things that are going on in your life. That's why you ought to hate missing church. See, you ought not come to church out of guilt, out of habit, or because somebody forces you, or because it's become a ritual. You ought to go to church to find out if God has anything to say to you. Almost every one of the major decisions I've made in my life, many of the major turning points happened when I was in a church service. Before I went that day, I had no idea what was going to happen, but because I went, I heard something from the Bible, I heard something from the choir, I heard a testimony that made a change in me and helped me make a major decision. I don't know when those are going to happen, so I can't afford to miss church because that might be the very Sunday that the answer shows up. So what might have happened if I stayed home because I was tired? What might have happened if I stayed home because the Lord had nerve enough to take an hour from me? If God had that preacher or that message just for me, what if I didn't show up? So on the possibility that he might want to speak to me any particular week, I just show up. So when these men decided to sail the ship into the Mediterranean Sea, and Paul said, "Don't do it or we'll go into a storm," they made three common mistakes. They are the exact same three mistakes we tend to make every time we get into trouble. The first mistake they made was they listened to bad advice. Somebody said, you ought to check your friends. In verse 11, it says, they followed the advice of the pilot. God had already said not to go. Paul had warned them not to go. But because the expert said it was okay, they did it. Can I help you with this? There are a lot of experts in the world, and most of them are on talk shows. They tell you all kinds of stuff. If God tells you to do one thing, and all the experts in the world tell you to do differently, don't listen to the experts. Listen to what God says to you.
so we listen to bad advice. The second thing we tend to do, we follow the crowd. It's in verse 12. The majority decided that we should sail. There were 276 folks on the boat. The vote was 273-3 to sail. Can I let you in on a secret? The majority is often wrong. One of the phrases you hear, and be careful about it, but everybody's doing it. So what? Everybody can be wrong. In the story of the children of Israel leaving Egypt and going to the promised land, the majority of them wanted to go back to Egypt. They were wrong. Don't base your morality on some popular opinion poll. Peer pressure keeps a lot of people from doing what God wants them to do. I agree that our teenagers need to hear this, but so some of our grown-ups need to hear this. We are guilty of having a religion called materialism. We buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't even like, just to keep up with them and they broke sales. So I have to be careful not to follow the crowd and not to listen to bad advice. But then I've got to be careful because there's a tendency to rely on circumstances. It's in verse 13. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted. They thought it was a nice day for sailing. But Paul said, don't do it. We're heading into a storm. But they went anyway, and they got shipwrecked. The adversary can arrange circumstances so that it looks pleasant. It appears it's a good thing. Be careful about following stuff because of the way it looks. I said it. You should not go through every open door you see. You should not take advantage of every opportunity you have. You should not accept every job offer given to you. You should not date everybody that asks you out on a date. You need to ask if this is what God wants. Just because it's a circumstance that looks okay, it looked okay for them to sail out in the ocean, but God had already said no, and they headed right for a storm because they were more in tune with what something looked like as opposed to what God had said. They thought they had obtained what they wanted. So many people think that and foolishly go right into hurricanes and typhoons. The most difficult type of difficulty to deal with is when you're the innocent victim and it's not your fault. It's a problem you didn't bring on yourself, but you got to deal with it anyway. In Paul's situation, Paul had already told them, God says, don't do this or the ship will be wrecked. But they did it anyway. And he's a prisoner, so he had to go along. He experiences a shipwreck, watch this now, because of other people. Now here's a secret. Not all of the shipwrecks in your life are your fault. Some of them, you just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people. Your people tried to tell you not to go there with them. Your mama told you she didn't have a good feeling about him. Those are difficult difficulties to deal with, but you're in the shipwreck because you happen to be there. Which moves us to the second thing we got to do. Since I'm in the shipwreck, since trouble has found me, since I'm dealing with difficulties, now, secondly, I got to determine the result. Ask, what does God want me to learn from this difficulty? 2 Corinthians 4:17. These little troubles, which are temporary, I'm glad Michael got it, are winning for us a permanent, glorious, and solid reward, all out of proportion to our pain. Oh, you're going to look at this differently. On your sermon, draw a line between troubles and temporary and permanent and reward. Paul is saying that the problems you have in your life are not going to last. The problems are temporary, but the reward is permanent. Oh, my goodness. The problems are temporary, but the reward is permanent. The purpose for this is a permanent purpose. When we go through difficulties, the first thing we try to do is blame somebody else. Whose fault is this? It doesn't matter where your problem came from. God still has a purpose for it in your life. He wants you to grow as a result of the problem. Even when other people hurt me intentionally, God can use it. Even when the devil plans bad things for my life, God can bring good out of it. God's purpose is greater than your problem and your pain. God will use your problem and your pain. So you need to look past temporary pain and look at a long-term benefit, the results in your life. Romans 5. It says, we can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know they help us learn to be patient. And patience develops strength of character in us and helps us trust God more each time. So what's the result? God wants us to learn something. That's the whole purpose for problems and difficulties that you're facing right now. Every storm you encountered is a school. Every trial is a teacher, and God wants to teach us through our troubles and our trials and our storms. Every experience is an education. Every difficulty is for your development. God says, I want you to learn something from this difficulty. That's the purpose of the difficulty. It's a learning process. But some of you I know, and y'all went to school with me, and we're rather slow on our ability to learn from our mistakes. Most of us, just tell the person next to you, you know he's talking about you, have had to learn something more than once. And here's what I discovered about God, Ed. You know, sometimes in schools they will skip you. But God doesn't skip you. If you don't learn something the first time, God's got this bad habit of bringing it back again and back again and back again. Because God is more interested in our character than he is in our comfort. God is more interested in making you change to be more like Christ than he is in making things easy for us. You never graduate from the school of hard knocks. God allows difficulties. So some of you are facing a major difficulty right now. It may be an illness and you don't feel well, or fear, or guilt, or financial challenge, or strain in a relationship. Some of you are facing some kind of shipwreck this morning. Does God have a word for you while you're going through your difficulty? Absolutely. God brought you here this morning so you could hear me say this to you. Don't give up, grow up. That's what God wants you to do in that difficulty. He doesn't want you to quit. He doesn't want you to give up. He wants you to grow up. He wants you to mature. He wants you to develop, become more and more like the person he wants you to be. So how do you use your difficulties and problems to grow? By doing these three things. Determine the reason, determine the results, and then determine the response. And that's where we are right now. So when this mess shows up, how do I handle it? How do I respond? How should just cuss everybody out? Give them a piece of my mind? What's left then? How do you handle it when hell shows up on your doorstep unannounced? When you go to work and everybody else been getting a pink slip, but all of a sudden you got one. When your kid starts acting a fool. When your marriage is on the rocks. You're going to be hurt in life. Here's what I know. Life is not fair. You will have problems, difficulties, and hurts that will either make you bitter or better. You either grow up or you will give up. You either become what God wants you to be or you'll shrivel and your heart will become hard. It's your choice. When you go through these situations in life, those difficult times, what happens to you is not nearly as important as what happens in you. The circumstance that comes into your life around you are not nearly as important as what happens inside of you. Because what happens inside of you is what takes you into eternity. It is not the circumstance, it is the conversion. See, the circumstance is temporary. But the conversion is permanent. See, you take with a long-term character what the circumstance have made you, bitter or better. If you keep complaining about something that happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, it has made you bitter. Yes, it wasn't fair, but it happened. How you respond speaks to your relationship with God. In Acts 27, there are three things you shouldn't do. The typical things we tend to do when we go through difficulty. Number one, when you're in difficulties, we have a tendency to let the difficulties cause us to drift. Is it right there in verse 15? So we gave way to it and we're driven along. The ship taking prisoners to Rome was in the middle of the Mediterranean Ocean, hadn't seen the sun for 14 days. They were in total darkness. They can't get any bearings. They don't know where the stars are. They have no idea where they are. We begin to drift. We gave up going to any destination and started drifting. See, that's what problems tend to do. They tend to make you forget your destination, and then you start drifting through life. Some people start drifting through life. They have no goals, no objective, no purpose, no ambition, no dream for life. They just go along to get along. Life is tough, so why make the effort? Why even try? I'll just go by on the minimum. We don't call it drifting today. We call it coasting. Well, there's a challenge with coasting. The problem with coasting is you're always headed downhill. You can't coast uphill. You'll fool around and break your neck. You're going the wrong direction if you're coasting. Life is not a coast. Life is tough. Don't lose your goals, your ambition, your dream just because life gets a little hard. So understand, don't drift. Secondly, don't discard. It's in verse 18. Then they began to throw the cargo overboard. They're out in the middle of the Mediterranean Ocean. It's been 14 days without any sunlight. They've been battered by the winds and waves back and forth, and they start throwing things overboard to lighten the ship. First, they threw the cargo overboard. Then they threw the tackle overboard. Then they threw the food overboard. And they were ready to throw the prisoners overboard. They were discarding, abandoning things they needed because the storm was so tough. It's a common human reaction to difficulty. When you get in a storm, a difficulty, a trial, when the heat gets on and the pressure comes and stress gets unbearable, you start to abandon things, values, and relationships you would not normally let go of in better times. You hear, I'm throwing in the towel. I'm giving up on my marriage. I'm abandoning the relationship. I'm out of here. I'm checking it out. I quit. I give up on my dream to go to college. I give up on my dream to get married. I give up on my dream to make this marriage. We start throwing things out we shouldn't throw out. Values, inheritance, and relationships. We start throwing things aside that we shouldn't be. It's typical because we act impulsively. God says in verse 31, stay with the ship. Now don't miss this. Stay with the ship. Paul told the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men that y'all about to throw away remain in the ship, you can't be saved. You miss it. If y'all throw them away, y'all ain't gonna be saved. If y'all don't let them in the country, it ain't gonna be safe. So the soldiers cut away the ropes of the ships. It's crazy. They cut away the ropes of the ship's lifeboats and let the lifeboats fall away. What kind of God would have you cut away the lifeboats? They cut away the lifeboats, Deacon Robinson, because then it forced everybody to stay with the ship. Sometimes you can't give people a way out. So it says this, have you cut the lifeboats loose so there's no way out? Have you said divorce is not an option for us? We're going to make this thing work. Have you closed the escape hatch, locked it with a key, and thrown the key away? Divorce is not an option. If you haven't, you'll always be tempted to walk out. If you don't throw away the key, you'll never develop the character God wants you to have. It's always easier to cop out than it is to develop character. God can change situations. God can change personalities. The folks next to you knew who you was before God, they wouldn't sit that close to you, and they certainly wouldn't have their purse open. God can change us, but he won't if we're walking out the back door. He says, stay with the ship. Don't throw out the values you know are right and important. Don't abandon things you know you need in your life. I've learned from personal experience that it's never God's will for me to run from a difficult situation. If you do, you will face it again later on. God wants you to learn, to grow, to develop, and stay with it. So when you understand that, don't discard. And then number three, difficulties cause us to despair. Difficulties can drive you to depression. Verse 20. We finally gave up all hope of being saved. It's one thing to discard material things. It's one thing to throw cargo and food overboard. But when you throw hope overboard, ...14 days in total darkness. Don't know where they're going. They're being beat up, tossed back and forth. They've given up their cargo. They've given up their tackle. They've given up their food. And finally, they give up hope. That's the last thing to go. Hope. They've forgotten one thing. Even in the storm, God is still in control. He hadn't left them and he won't leave you. You may not feel him, you may not see him, but I'm here to tell you, if you feel far from God, guess what? God didn't move, you're the one to move. He hadn't left you, he's with you in that storm, he'll help you through it. God is testing to see if you'll trust him, even if you can't feel him. So while I'm in this storm, preacher, what should I do? What's my response? Because if you're not going through it now, take these notes, because when the next time it comes, you already have the answer. So when I find myself in my next storm, I got to confess my part. I got to own my stuff. If you brought it on yourself, admit it. Stop blaming other people. Stop making excuses. Face the problem and say, this is all on me. If you got a problem with drugs, admit it. If you got a problem with alcohol, admit it. If you got a problem with your temper, admit it. If you have a problem with your mouth, admit it. The Bible says a man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. Accept responsibility. What are you pretending is not a problem? First, admit it when you are the problem and turn the light on, and you don't have to be afraid anymore. After you confess it, and then get up enough nerve to confront it. That's what Paul did. Therefore, we know we're going to crack up, so I encourage you to eat. Take some food. When you get under stress and tension and crisis, when you're overwhelmed by problems and you think you're going to crack up, you stop taking care of yourself. You don't eat right. You don't sleep right. Those physical management things you need to do, you're trying to take care of everybody else while you're wearing yourself down. That's why it's always dangerous for caretakers to be so observant with who they're taking care of that they don't take care of themselves. Paul says, when you're overwhelmed with stress, remember the simple stuff, like eating right. They've been worried sick for 14 days and hadn't eaten anything. Then he told them to do some other stuff. They lightened the ship. They untied the rudders. They cut the anchors loose, intentionally rammed the ship straight ahead into the storm, trying to run it aground. Now, that's how you get through a storm. You don't run from it. You can't go under it, over it, or around it. In order to get through the storm, you got to go right into the storm. God won't take you around the storm, but he will take you through the storm. The only way to face a storm is head on. If you turn sideways, you're going to capsize. God says, face the storm, don't fear, go straight on into it. You'll never solve a problem. You never solve a problem. You never solve a problem by ignoring it. God didn't say when you go through the storm, it would be easy. He said, I would be with you. God didn't say it would be easy getting through what you're going through right now, but he did say, I will be with you, and you're going to make it. So I got to learn to confess my part, confront my part, and then I got to learn to claim the promise. There are over 7,000 promises in the Bible that you can claim when you're going through tough times. In verse 25, it says, therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I've been told. In other words, God will keep his promise. God, when you read this text, God, Reverend Williams did not say the ship would make it. God said, you will make it. He even said that the ship is going to crack and fall apart. See, some of you are going through a storm right now, and you're about to lose your mind because what's carrying you is falling apart. Your ship may not make it. You may lose the house. You may lose the car. You may lose your career. God has never promised to keep all of your comfortables around you. He did say you will make it. So when they went straight ahead, striking a reef where the two seas met, they ran the vessel aground, and the bow stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the stern began to be broken up by the force of the waves. Now the soldiers, seeing the ship being broken up, plan was to kill all the prisoners on board so they wouldn't escape. But the centurion, wanting to keep Paul safe, kept them from their intentions and commanded those who could swim should jump overboard first and swim to land. You missed it. The prisoners were kept because the centurion wanted to keep Paul. One man secured the safety of everybody else on board. Be careful who you go cruising with. And so he says to them, all of you who can swim, jump overboard first and swim to land. And the rest of you who can't swim, somebody say, that's me, that's me, that's me. Grab on to some planks and other broken pieces from the ship. And the broken pieces will bring you safely to land. Not the ship, but the broken pieces. Not the motor, not the engine, but the broken pieces. If you grab on to what's been broken, it can still float, and it's strong enough to float. If you hold on to it, you may have to get there. On a broken piece. You may not make it in a cruise liner, but God says you're going to make it. None of us have completely whole lives. We all have some broken parts in our lives. But God says, in spite of what's broke, I promise you, you will still make it. You may have a broken heart, but you're gonna make it. You may have a broken home, but you're gonna make it. God said, whatever broke in your house is not enough to keep me from letting you make it in. Oh God. Your will may be broken. Your dreams may be broken. But God says, hang in there. Hold on to the broken pieces. So God, why did you have to break up the ship? Because if I let you stay on the ship, you'd have gave the ship credit for getting you in. You'd have gave job credit for getting you in. You'd have gave your education credit for getting in. But when I broke up what you had been depending on, and all you can latch onto was a dream, a piece of something, and you realize that's enough, because me, you, and that piece is enough. So the only way you don't make it, if you let go of the broken pieces in your life. Because God says, I'll take you, the broken pieces, and me, and I'll land you safely where I have for you to go. The doors of the church are open, the choir gets ready. Somebody needs to understand this morning.